A reading from the book of Numbers. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people, so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The word of the Lord. We celebrate today this great feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, a feast simply honoring the cross of Christ, almost in a way already turning our gaze ahead toward the Lenten season, what in the past, at least in some religious communities, was the beginning of the great fast. Precisely for that reason, our eyes already turned toward this cross of Jesus Christ. Now we have this reading from the book of Numbers, and a parallel with it, although I didn't read it, is the gospel text from John, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And in that text, the gospel of John refers back to this reading from Numbers. It says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Humanity be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So there is this parallel established within the Old Testament, the Israelites in the wilderness, the Hebrew people, looking at the bronze serpent that Moses has constructed, and the lifting up of Jesus Christ on the cross. And thus, in some ways, this lifting up of the bronze serpent in the wilderness is already a type of the cross of Christ. Now, there are many things we could read into or out of these texts, but there is one puzzling question that often was with me as I heard this reading from the book of Numbers. And that was the question, why did God choose to do it this way? He asked Moses to make a serpent of bronze, to lift it up, and when the people had been bitten, if they looked at this serpent, they would be healed. But I thought to myself, why didn't the Lord say, if people look at the serpent and acknowledge it, they will not be bitten? An all-loving and merciful God, why not say to the people, if you look at this serpent, which I have raised up here in your midst, you will not be bitten? But rather, it's as if they have to be bitten first. They have to be bitten, and then when they look at the bronze serpent, they will be healed. It kind of suggests something about our own need, or certainly reality in life, to be wounded, to be in need of healing, to discover our vulnerability, to become fallen, to fall, to lose our innocence. In other words, it's almost as if God is acknowledging that we will be bitten, that we will become wounded, that being wounded is inevitable, that we will lose our innocence, and that when we do, if we turn our attention to the cross of Christ, then we will be healed. By his wounds, we have been healed. This is kind of the message that the church gives us as we ponder the cross, both today and come Good Friday. It's not as if God wants to clear the path so that we look at the cross of Christ and, in a sense, will never be subjected to the fall, to the loss of innocence, to our own sinfulness and woundedness. It's as if we can't fully appreciate the meaning of the cross, the mystery of the cross, the power of the cross, until out of our own wounds, out of our own having been bitten by the sin of the world, that then we see the meaning in it. We see the power in it. We can be healed. We turn to the cross and we see what Jesus has done and continues to do. And so although at one level it's almost as if we would prefer to be able to look at the cross and never then be contaminated by sin in the world, it just doesn't seem to work that way. To be uncontaminated, not to identify with our solidarity in sinfulness, would mean that we really could not appreciate what Christ has done for us, who Christ is. It's only by looking at Christ out of our need that we discover in Christ the one who heals us, by whose wounds we have been healed. And so, as the Israelites or Hebrew people of old, we too have complained about our human condition. And we are not saved from the self-knowledge of who we are as people who have sinned against God and one another, against our brothers and sisters. But out of that self-awareness, out of that self-knowledge of our own woundedness and sinfulness, when we look at the cross of Christ, we can then see the mystery of grace revealed. For it would not be grace for us if we had first not acknowledged our need for something outside ourselves to which we might turn in order to be saved.